Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Scenes podcast. Glad to be back. Man, it's been a crazy start to this week. What day is it, babe?
It's a day late.
Well, yeah, but it's Wednesday. I don't know. Yeah. thanks for hanging in there, you guys.
Usually these episodes, you know, we try to get them out every Tuesday, but this week we didn't quite get there. Yeah, so give grace.
We're trying to
coming at you a day late, but
pick a day where
it's still going to be a good one.
Yeah, it's still going to be good. We're trying to pick a day where we just get them done.
We need to batch record these episodes, but we don't want to do that because we like it being real time.
Real time, yeah.
Like really what's going on in our life at the time when we're talking about
it. Yeah, it makes it tough because like a lot of people we know they batch record them and like we love that idea. But
it sounds great.
But then when we're in the week,
it's just
we're
hard
like,
to talk
but we got to say this.
We got to talk about this because this is what's going on or, you know. What we're learning or whatever. That's part of the behind the scenes of it. So I don't know. We go back and forth on that. But coming up here on book tour, we might need to...
We might need to adjust our practices.
Yeah. But anyways, Today we have kind of a cool episode.
Let's frame it by going back to a couple podcasts ago.
Right.
We did that big Q&A podcast, which we loved. Thought that was super fun.
We got a lot of good ideas for podcasts out of that. So thank you guys if you shared
and a lot of good traction.
Your questions.
It's been listened to quite a bit. So one thread that kind of shown itself throughout a lot of questions was, how did we pursue Jesus or keep our faith strong in college? So we thought this would be a good podcast to kind of dive into that question, that topic a little bit more in depth and just share A, our stories, B, how we did it, and then a couple things. We have a list of ways, you know, just practical ways to do it. And you might find one that works for you, you might find seven that works for you. So that's kind of the structure and agenda for today. So this is definitely going to be a little more faith-based, Christian, Pursuit of Jesus podcast.
but also just like our, you know, college experiences. And a lot of people have asked just like what our college experiences as individuals were, you know, was like. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words.
Yeah.
But we just thought we'd preface the episode with a little bit of that so you guys have some background and some just flavor for what each of our lives looked like in college before
for
we
sure.
dive into how we pursue Jesus in college. So do you want to start, babe? Or?
Yeah, I can start.
Yeah.
I think, first of all, before I get into kind of my story, or maybe I'll ask you about your story, but I think college is definitely a time to answer this question, is Jesus worth pursuing? Mm. And a lot of people, and that's kind of a question people revisit at different seasons in life. And I think, you know, college is definitely, it's that first season where you're uprooted from...
Your faith can really become your own.
All you know
right.
and all you have known and all the rhythms and habits and routines that your family has instilled into you, whether for the better or worse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then you're in college where you're just left to explore the world, not just like physically, you know, but spiritually as well. And, it's a very interesting time. It's a very exciting time.
And I would add to that, babe, like, you know, your question is Jesus worth pursuing? You know, if your answer is yes, Jesus is worth pursuing, then what does it look like to pursue Jesus? And what distracts or prevents you from pursuing Jesus specifically in that college time of life where you're just trying to figure out life, what you want to be about, what you believe in, what you want to pursue.
Yeah.
You know,
well, not aside just from Jesus, that.
But also Jesus.
So. And not just that too, but there's been this cultural shift going on where it used to be a pretty safe to assume, okay, like I'm going to go and there's probably going to be a lot of Christians, like, you know, real Christians around me and stuff. And now you go to college and you're in direct, any college, you know, sure, there's a few exceptions, but you're in direct opposition with not just culture and society at large, but, you know, there's just this constant battle of like, well, what does the Bible say? And well, that's all, you know, hoodly-ha, or it's on the other side, it's like every single word is absolutely literal. And so it's like we're wrestling with a lot more interesting problems now, in my opinion, than we did even 5 years ago. But
and it's just so growing because you're placed around a bunch of people, whether that's college teammates in a sorority, roommates in the dorms, yeah, whatever, who have completely different upbringings than you, completely different backgrounds. You know, all of a sudden you're not with your best friends who you grew up with anymore. You're with friends of completely different thinkings, yeah, and faiths and backgrounds and cultures and all of that. And so it can be very... It's such a cool opportunity to just grow and be challenged, sure, by people who came from different backgrounds. So
definitely. So it all hinges on that question, is Jesus worth pursuing? And if the answer is yes, then what does it look like to pursue him? And what things distract or prevent you from pursuing him? Mm-hmm. Or what things would promote you? And I'm going to come out of the gates at the beginning of the podcast and say, yes, absolutely, Jesus is worth pursuing. You know, in our opinion, he is the kingpin of existence. Everything rests on Jesus, right? So whether he rose from the dead or not, that is the question of human existence. And everything, all religions, is a battle to explain that reality, in my opinion. And praise the Lord, he did. And so that's my right out of the gate saying it, like, yes, keep pressing in, stay strong out there, because it's a battle and it's getting crazier every single day. So, babe, a little glimpse into our college life. What did your college life look like? Let's try not to like linger here too long, but like, yeah, five minutes. Let's try to keep these
less than that. Yeah, so, yeah, just to give you guys a brief overview, because some of you guys probably already know, we've talked about this a little bit, but I walked on to the Oregon State cross country and track team. Boom. And so I went to school relatively close to home. Oregon State is a Division I huge school in Oregon. It's one of the state schools in Oregon, but it's only an hour and a half from Portland, so not too far away from home. I originally wanted to go far away and not run in college. And then last minute, I decided I did want to run in college. So all of the scholarship money at all the colleges were already handed out. And because I went on an unofficial visit to Oregon State really late, like the week before I graduated high school, fell in love with a college coach there. And I thought, you know what? I can run in college for this guy. Like, he was just like the opposite of what I had thought of in my head as like being all the cons of doing sports in college. Yeah, he was like, he cared about me as a human. He was a believer. He was just an amazing guy. So he like opened my eyes to that. But anyways, then I also was like, I'm not done running yet.
Yeah. Okay, back to the story.
After
so
I graduated. So anyways, I walked onto the Oregon State cross country and track team and majored in business, entrepreneurship, and marketing. And lived in the dorms my first year of college, was running. I redshirted my freshman year. I started leading Young Life, which is an outreach organization for high school kids. So I was a leader at the local high school in Corvallis, but also got plugged in with like a college group of girls who were also doing that as well. I found some mentors through Young Life as well. Then after my freshman year, moved into a giant house with 7 roommates. We had 4 chickens and other pets in our house as well. It was super fun. I had a roof deck off my bedroom window where I would go out in the morning and like read my Bible and spend time with the Lord. I lived with 4 of my teammates and then a couple girls that I led Young Life with. It was super fun. We called our college house the brothel. It's a joke, but
When you're that Christian, you can get away with that.
Yeah, it was just like totally. And it was super fun. We lived right off campus. We could walk to school. Then my last few years of college, I like to say I was on the 6-year plan graduating early because I took 5 years to go to school. I wanted to use up all my eligibility running. And I ended up earning a scholarship, became the team captain. So I was the captain the final 2 years of college, my super senior year and my senior year. And I lived in a smaller house those past 2 years with a couple roommates. And I wasn't leading Young Life anymore at that point. And that's when Jer and I really started doing long distance. During those final two and a half, 3 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And then graduated,
that frames up Audrey's kind of college a little bit, and we're gonna go into like, okay, well, because I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Like, well,
I just wanted to give you guys a flavor for like what was college like for me. So now, Jerry, you tell them what college was like, and include PCC
for me,
too, because that was
totally.
Also.
So I graduated, and I didn't know what to do, so I'm like, okay, I had a soccer scholarship too, actually, that people looking at me, and for some reason, I just didn't know what I wanted to do, so I ended up going to PCC. Which turned out to be really good.
You guys are still filming for the show.
We're still filming for the show. This is the local community college. So I went there for 2 years and I think I did get my associates. I can't even remember at this point. But anyways, in those 2 years, decided, okay, I'm going to go to film school. So I went down to Santa Barbara. And this is the first time I like left home, journeyed out into the wild, wild west, you know. And that's when my life got kind of turned upside down. I left the farm. I wasn't, I didn't have my barn. I didn't even know what to do because I didn't have my tools, it was a pretty interesting experience. And, lived by myself for a couple months and then I got a roommate and then we moved into the upstairs 2-room apartment and lived with him pretty much.
And how'd you get that roommate?
Oh yeah. I got that roommate because some dude was bumming around school, like looking for a place. And then I found out
he was living on a boat.
He's living on a boat. Yeah. James is living on a boat. And then, I can't really remember. That didn't really work out. And so I said, okay, yeah, you can sleep on my rug, my carpet, come in, sleep on my floor. So that we did that and we became really, really good friends and moved upstairs. And one of my best friends moved in with us as well, and then there was all three of us, and those are my college roommates for pretty much all of college. And there's a local church we were going to for a little while, and then we found a Bible study, and then I switched churches, and I was going to a different church, Reality, for the last half of my college time, and that was good. I got into rock climbing, did all that, went rock climbing with a youth pastor that he was kind of a, I guess you'd call, mentor figure in my college days, but I think that's it, babe. Is there anything I left out there? Do you know?
It was pretty good.
Yeah. So that's,
I you didn't really touch on, we'll touch on this more in a second when we dive into like our practical ways of pursuing Jesus. But
So those are the kind of like, if we were to frame up our college real quick,
it's a good little flavor nugget,
in 5 minutes, like those were our two experiences, and there's so much more depth there, obviously.
Totally.
But we just kind of tried to go through it just to frame this up. So.
And also wanted to frame this up because, just to show you guys, like,
are we framing, babe? We're framing.
Yeah, seriously. Just to show you guys, we were busy. Like, both Jer and I were busy. Jer also didn't mention this, but he was flying home from Santa Barbara a lot to film for the show.
Yeah, I started
shooting weddings.
Started a video company with Ty, which is still running,
right?
Like a letter weddings.
And then, like, running, doing Division I sports is a lot. Like, it's a lot. It's a huge commitment. So all of that plus school and homework and studies and figuring out what we want to do with our life and career and working part-time and all that, it was a lot.
Yeah, we had every excuse. I'll let you continue, baby, because this is going to be a good point, I think. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just...
I think it's just that, like, every... crap, I lost my train of thought now.
Oh, man.
But, like, I guess what I was trying to say was, in college, you have a lot of different things vying for attention. You have a lot of different things that you have to figure out how you're going to prioritize them. Like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast. And one of the things that, like, I feel like the Lord really pressed on me in college was that pursuing Jesus is not just about doing more things to add to your list of priorities. It's about inviting Jesus into each of those things and then creating room in your life for him to change who you are and not just what you do. So pursuing Jesus isn't just about like going to church and leading a Bible study and serving and volunteering. That's just adding to your list of priorities and things to do. Pursuing Jesus is about inviting Jesus into all the things you already are doing and allowing him to change who you are, not just your to-do list. So anyways, we made a list of what we kind of think are 8 specific ways that really helped us pursue Jesus in college. And I will disclaimer this with saying Jer and I were not perfect at this. We learned these throughout our college experience. We didn't know them day one as freshmen.
Yeah, we're looking back with, you know, hindsight 2020. We're looking back with clearer vision. So
real quick, we'll read through the list and then we're going to briefly break down each one. So the first is spend alone time with Jesus. The second is seek rest. 3rd, community. 4th, wise counsel. 5, eliminate sin. 6, listen and obey. 7, fill your heart and mind with truth and read. 8, write down your questions and prayers. So, babe, you want to start with spend alone time with Jesus or you want me to?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so spend alone time with Jesus. This is like one of those things that is so, it's like so obvious, but it's, in the busyness, it can just be one of those things that gets backburnered. And like Audrey kind of in the frame up here, right? So much of pursuing Jesus is prioritizing him. So when you set aside an alone time, you're saying, Lord, you are my priority. You are a priority. You're my highest priority. And so we like to do it in the morning because it's just a symbol, a sign, an emphasis on like, you're the first thing I want to be about every day.
And is that what you did? How did you spend alone time with Jesus in college?
For me, it was the beach. The beach was a brand new thing to me. And so I was like, whoa, this is really cool. I actually, when I got thrown into college, I just had this burning desire to press in. The Lord just like really came in and came on me and was just like, you know, we're going to do this. And I felt that. And so I was pressing in, you know, pretty strongly. And I was reading a ton of books. Studying my Bible, I picked up journaling for the first time ever. I was doing all these like crazy. Plus, I was like, I had left my love at home, Audrey at home, and so I was like, you know, really inspired to pursue that love story. And then my reflection on my love story with the Lord, it was just kind of mirroring each other. And so the beach was my alone time. I'd find myself at the beach every day, opening my Bible, reading, praying, sitting, just staring. And that was kind of a new visual experience for me. And so that's kind of how I prioritize Jesus. And there were days I didn't do it. And there's this one year where I was pretty, you know, I don't want to say, there's this one year where, yeah, I was lazy. I didn't prioritize it. But the other 2 years I was really solid on doing that. Babe, how did you spend alone time with Jesus?
So for me, I was morning. I got up early in the morning, even before like morning practice, sometimes at 5 a.m. And I read my Bible like pretty much every morning all through college. I really was like, that was a time in my life where I was growing so much. And I, like, similar to you, babe, like my faith is my own. I was really pressing in. And like we talked about in the beginning of this podcast, I wanted to be able to take a stand for Jesus. And I wanted to be prepared to do that. And I knew I needed to be in the Word and spending time with him in order to do that.
That's good.
And there was also some hard things that I was walking through too. And I was really needing Jesus and dependent on him through those trials as well. So,
which brings us, were you done?
Well, one thing that I think is worth mentioning, is in college, like you have the opportunity to build habits into your life that can set you up for marriage or just after college life in the working world or having kids. And it's such a time of your life where like you have more of a routine or it's the first time in your life where like you're creating your own routines.
Yeah.
You're deciding your schedule. And Jer and I both love this book. It's called The Power of Habit. Do you want to talk about it for a second?
Yeah,
but like, I think it's really worth saying because out your key routine and reward for how you're going to spend alone time with Jesus really helps you to prioritize spending alone time with Jesus. Right?
Yeah, I would totally agree. College is definitely that first time where you are building the type of person you will become, and you're building the type of person, you know, you're going to be when you meet your spouse or you start. It's just, there's so much going on here. And for us, leaving Jesus out of that was just, you know, given who he is, I hadn't made a decision. Anyways, tangent there.
No, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but
Okay, for me, this is, I'll make that point. I was just going to make in a different point. Okay, so back to The Power of Habit. Yeah, so that's an amazing book. If you haven't read The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, it's amazing. The core concept of the book is 95% of your entire life is a series of habits. Whether you realize it or not, you are a habit machine. Almost everything you do in a day,
good habits and bad habits.
Yep, is a series of habits. And habits are broken down into three parts: your cue, your routine, your reward. For example, a good habit would be cue, your alarm clock goes off. Okay, I wake up. And then your routine could be grabbing your Bible, journal, and a cup of coffee, right? And then your reward would be obviously your relationship with the Lord, which comes with joy, peace, you know, clarity, wisdom,
yes,
strength, hope. That's the reward as you go into your day. And so that's a good, healthy habit, right? And then there are bad habits where your cue might be like, oh, I'm stressed out. And then your routine might be binge eating junk food. The reward is feeling better, but that's a bad habit.
Right.
So your whole life is a cycle of cue, routine, rewards. And
right,
I guess the whole point we're trying to make is, in order to prioritize Jesus successfully and actually make it a habit, something that benefits you, yeah, it has to become a habit.
Right.
You have to intentionally pick a time, set the alarm, have your Bible ready, have the coffee on auto set to brew. It's like you've got to build in these triggers that makes it a habit.
And they say it takes 30 days to form a habit. So, you know, if you set your alarm for 30 days, turn your phone off airplane mode and spend time with the Lord, like, that's going to set you up for success.
Sure.
So our second way to pursue Jesus in college is through rest, which is kind of an irony because for me, this is the one I sucked at and still suck at the most.
This is one of those things we
but
look
no,
back,
I need to hear.
We look at with like 2020 hindsight, right? But mm-hmm. in the time, it was very specifically for Audrey.
Yeah.
We kind of tell this whole story in our book of how it affected.
I burned out.
How you burnt out, how it affected our relationship. Yeah. A lot of people don't know we ended up breaking up. And so that whole story is kind of in the book and it's all revolves around this. You need to seek rest.
Mm-hmm.
So babe, I'll let you kind of run with this. The first thing I'll say about it, really, I just said I'll let you run with it and then I started talking. No. Okay, let me just say my point because this is kind of your thing on this one. But the Sabbath, like practicing mm-hmm. a Sabbath is, for us, it's been the most influential thing, not just in our work life, but our life in general, our relationship with the Lord. Last year was absolutely amazing. We've struggled kind of in the beginning of this year a little bit, but we're back on it now in full force. And every time we get off of it for a minute or just get a little lazy with our phone or whatever it is, like when we come back, it's just so, so, so peaceful and nice. Mm-hmm. And so the Sabbath is really a good way to seek rest.
I think Jer and I, and probably if you're listening to this, like, you know, where the world that we live in right now does not esteem rest.
No.
It's like hustle, go,
hustle,
work,
hustle,
work.
Nonstop.
24/7, work's in the palm of your hands, work in your bed, work on vacation, you know, study, especially if you're in college. I mean, it's such a go time of life. And there's pressure and expectations.
Plus you're looking at this, all these lifestyles you want to live when you're out of college. And it's like,
you got to get there somehow.
Man, you got to get there somehow.
So, and then like, I remember in college, one of the things people always said was, oh, sleep when I'm dead. Sleep when you're dead. It was like a joke. We used to always say like, oh, sleep when I'm dead, because you'd be studying, then you stay up late, but then you'd want to have fun and hang out with your friends. And it
which
was just
brings
like this,
us
like,
to your story.
So anyways, I burnt out hard and I won't tell that whole story now, but I just learned how important rest is because I'm such a squeeze the most out of life person, say yes to everything, want to do everything. You know, the verse in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a lot of verses like that in the Bible that are very empowering, but there's also a lot of verses in the Bible about rest. And I didn't pay as much attention to those. My mom had to remind me a lot in college, like, yeah, you can do all things, Audrey, but not all at the same time. And so how do you prioritize rest as a college student? Like, what does that actually tangibly look like?
Yeah.
And for me, one of the best things for me, the most life-giving ways that I prioritized rest was through something called silent retreat. And this was something that one of my college mentors put on once a term. We would go to the coast for the weekend and she rented out this like beach house. And we basically, we went, we had dinner on Friday night. We woke up Saturday morning. We were silent all day, didn't talk. Sounds really funny and awkward, but we didn't have our phones, we didn't do homework, we didn't work. You could go for a run, you could take a bath, you could go for a walk, you could read, you could journal, you could do whatever, you could eat. You just couldn't work or labor. You were resting. You were doing life-giving things, you were doing worshiping God things. And so...
you were spending time in your own brain.
I think that this is something that, like, I encourage all college girls to do. You can go get away, go camping, you know, if you don't low budget, like whatever it is, but like get away for a weekend or an overnight and just spend the day in quiet, but with other people in quiet. Yeah. Because there's something about that, because then at the end of the day, we'd come together and we sort of share our time and what the Lord taught. And it was so life-giving and so eye-opening and refining, because we were able to share these experiences of like rich times with the Lord that we all had, yeah, and then all come together and talk about it. And it also grew my friendships. It was so good for my friendships in college to experience that with people. So anyways, that's one practical way. The other thing, a book Jared and I love, love, love and recommend is called Garden City by John Mark Comer. It's all about rest, work, and how we balance those two in the world that we live in right now. We highly recommend it and love it.
If you've not read that and you're in college, that is a
great book.
Must read.
Yeah. You need to read it before you join the working world.
Yeah. And then just going, revisiting the SAP. So that's one great tip, babe, those silent retreats. And then as like a monthly thing or maybe even a quarterly thing, you can figure
like
that
once
out.
Once a term for me.
Once a term for you. The Sabbath is that weekly thing.
Yes.
That day of the week where you just decide, like,
turn off your phone.
It's so hard in college, though. But it is,
or once a week.
It's true, because it's like you got to catch up on homework.
I know.
There's so many things.
It's so hard now, though.
Homework should be a sin, by the way. But yeah, right? Anyways, Mark 2:27 says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And I love that, because that's exactly what it is. The Sabbath is essentially the biblical word for rest, and it was created
for us,
right? So it's not something to be taken lightly. It's actually part of what it means to be human. If we're made in God's image and he rested
on the seventh day,
yeah, so to not practice rest would be to not practice our identity, who we are.
That's good, babe.
So the Sabbath is very important and definitely something to implement into life.
Community.
Yes, this
number
is
three.
Monster huge. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Mm-hmm. That's I don't know who did that quote, but anyways, it's an awesome quote. That just came to my brain.
Yeah.
But
also another community quote, you're the sum of the people that you spend the most time with. So think about the people that you spend the most time with.
You are the sum of them.
Do you want to be the sum of them or do you not?
Yeah.
You know, think about that. Because in college, you really choose your friends for the first time in your life. It's not just like innate your neighbor friends or your siblings anymore. Like, you're on your own. You get to choose your friends. And
for sure. And there's no math here. You know, it's just one of those things where you just want to be intentional about who you're spending time with. Right. And like what people bring out in you. And if you measure who you want to be against the influence and the people you're spending time with, there should not be a large discrepancy there, right? Like you're not always going to be the underdog hanging out with all the big, awesome, like, you know, not, I don't want to say successful, but the big, awesome, mature, like Christian heroes, you know, like that's not always going to be the case, but you should be hanging with one or two of them and you should find yourself in the middle of the spectrum there. You know what I mean? Yeah, babe.
And I think a lot of people like this idea of community. Like, community is such a praised and esteemed thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone loves this idea of community, right? But when it comes to really fleshing community out and doing it, it's actually hard. And
because being
in community means you need to open up your life to
sacrifice
to the criticism of others who you trust, who can lovingly like challenge you, pray for you, encourage you,
call you out.
Yeah. And if you look at Jesus and Jesus's life, like, he had community. He had the 12 disciples, but then he had also this inner circle of three best friends, Peter, James, and John, who were like, he had the 12 who was like his community of guys, but then he also had these three that he like really, really walked with intentionally.
Yeah.
And like, I remember one of my college mentors like would always say like, you got to have your 12, but then you got to have your three. You can't just have the 12 and not the three, or you can't have 20.
Yeah.
Or you can't just have the one You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You have to have this, but like, follow, like, if we're going to be examples of Jesus, like, follow, let's just model Jesus that
model. Yeah. And here's a good thing to say about that too, babe. Like, you mean to tell, like, there's no way that Jesus did not have 100, you know, thousands and thousands of people wanting to be his friend, wanting to be in that 12, and even wanting to be in that inner circle. So it's easy to deduce the reality that the Lord, he had to say no in some areas to some things to protect himself and to value that intimacy with the three, where true relationship like really works well, and then to have that 12. And, you know, again, none of what I just said is scripture by any means, but if you were to look at it and who he was as a historical figure, like, there, people wanted to be his friend, like, everyone and anyone. And he was friends with everyone. He went and hung out with anyone, right? And that's who he was. He came to free everyone and hang out with anyone. So again, just to clarify, we're not saying don't hang out with these people only hang out with these people, because that's not the Jesus model either. But
just be intentional about, you know, Jared and I are super big on intention, but like, be intentional about who are your three. Think about who they might be, you know, and who you want them to be. And then I think we can't talk about community and not talk about church, because I think college is such a time for church shopping, because all of a sudden, again, you're on your own. You're not going to the church you grew up in anymore. Yep. You got to find your own church.
Yeah.
And that's really the first time in your life that you are doing that. And then you'll probably do it again when you move for a job, or again when you get married, or again when you have kids. And so, but this is like kind of your first exposure to, like, how do you choose a church?
Yeah.
And so we have a few, just like, here's some questions that you can ask yourself before you commit to a church body. Are they opening up the Bible every Sunday and teaching the scriptures? Mm-hmm. Or is it just motivational teachings?
Feel good. American gospel
is there
stuff.
Is there an opportunity to get connected with smaller groups within the church? Or is it just like a giant gathering? Do you come and go to church unnoticed? Or is there some type of like accountability, or people that like know that you're there, notice that you're there, or want to notice that you're there? And is it pushing you and growing you in your walk with the Lord?
Those are really good questions.
Few basic things.
Go back, write those down, and just look at them. And that's not an exhaustive list. That is a biblical list.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, your church should be doing all of those things.
And one more thing I want to say about community is, your community has the power to shape and influence your life. And community in college is so much easier to find than it is when you're out of college.
Yes.
So take advantage of that, because you'll find those friends in college who might be your community after college.
Well, if you're intentional about it, they definitely will.
Could be for life, you know?
Yeah.
So just milk this season of life. If you're in college and you're listening right now, like, you have the opportunity to get so connected into so many different avenues of ways of finding community. So take advantage of that. Okay, number four.
Wise counsel. And this is something I've struggled with, kind of, you know, I've mentioned this on a podcast before, but like, the one mentor I did have ended up dying. And so that didn't really turn me off to it, but I think there's definitely some psychological shift in me there with just my relationships with people. And so anyways, I always kind of struggled with this. And like I mentioned earlier, there was one guy that invited me to rock climbing when I was in college. He was older than me. He was the youth pastor at the church or whatever. And, you know, I would have, he mentored me. It wasn't the mentorship type relationships that like I've had in recent years and in Ben specifically, but he definitely led me and pastored me, and that was really good. But that kind of sums up my experience with it. And that's not to diminish that experience by any means. It was amazing and awesome, and totally valued him doing that.
I think that was a little bit of a harder thing for Jeremy in college. It was just hard for him to connect with, I think it's harder for guys, you know?
It is a little bit harder, like, for guys.
To have that chemistry.
There was one thing someone has told me somewhere along the lines that stuck with me, and that is, I think Dale might have said this, I don't know, but they say there's no such thing as shortcuts in life. That's not true. There's absolutely shortcuts in life. It's called mentors. People that have gone there. People that have been there and gone there and done it before you, right? They hold the shortcuts and the secrets to life. And specifically in the Christian walk, right? Like, there is so many trials and so many problems and sin and just havoc that can be avoided if you humble yourself and heed the advice of mentors.
Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there's safety.
Yep.
I think also too, for me, just in my experience, was a little bit different than Jer's, but I actually I specifically prayed for a mentor in my first couple years of college, and also was not really being mentored by anyone those first couple years. And then finally, the Lord answered that prayer in abundance, and I had two college mentors who mentored me through college, and it was so amazing.
Yeah.
I attribute my ability to stay buoyant in those years of college to Shirley and Jamie. They were just so amazing and such blessings to me in my season of life then. I think one thing I would encourage young women and young men in college listening to this is don't be afraid to ask someone to coffee. Because I think what can happen is in the Christian world, there's this language of mentors, and it's like, hey, will you mentor me? And that can seem whether you think it or not, actually kind of intimidating to an older person.
Yeah, very intimidating.
I've asked my mom, Mom, why don't you mentor more? And she's like, well, I don't know. I'm not qualified. I'm not equipped. I'm not blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Mom, yes, you are. But I think if you ask someone like that just a coffee,
Which has happened to your mom.
Then they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. totally. I would love to, because it doesn't feel as intimidating to them. And then just keep asking them to coffee.
Next thing you know, you'll have a mentor without any of you knowing it.
But don't be afraid to then ask after a few coffee dates, hey, I really appreciate our time together. Sometimes you have to be the one to initiate that. Sometimes it isn't an older, wiser woman that approaches you and offers to just...
Yeah. Well, and it's also, to go off that, babe, too, it's also kind of somewhat of a dating relationship.
Totally.
Date your mentors. Because last thing you want to do is get someone mentoring you and they're twisted in some theology or whatever.
And
that's also why it's nice to have one or two, because then you can kind of cross-examine, your guidance.
Yes.
For sure.
That's very good. And I'll just wrap up this wise counsel with Proverb 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Those people who are wise counsel.
And wisdom comes at us through deliverance from the Holy Spirit, comes through prayer, comes through reading scripture, and it comes through older and wiser people, mentors.
Number five. I don't know why I said that so excitedly, because this one's also kind of heavy.
That's why you said it. Eliminate sin.
If you want to pursue Jesus.
Sin separates us, from Jesus, from God, from the Lord. It's that when we continually walk in habitual sin, that's when we're intentionally saying, I choose this over you, right? Because what we do, it comes and stems out of what we love, right? And it's we love sin. We just do. That's why we do it, right? If we loved Jesus more, right, we would
love his ways.
We would love his ways. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge, huge, huge conversation. And I'm sorry to just kind of throw it out here without having truly unpack it. But in college, it can be super difficult because you get wrapped up in crowds. You want to experience the best out of things. But I think that people have kind of a wrong way. People want to get out of college the wrong thing sometimes. People go to party, just to have all these crazy memories. And then 2 years out of college, they're not really working anywhere. They don't have very many really good, deep, intimate, close friends or relationships. And, it's because you wanted to get the wrong things out of it. But if you're wanting to get out of college, of course your education, but also some good friendships, you want to discover yourself and find what you believe in and build the foundation of who you're going to be for the rest of your life, the sin question is definitely on the table there. So anyways, the whole sin conversation, again, we don't really want to dive completely into it, here, because we don't just have the time, but sin is, it's something that will be revealed to you as you pursue Jesus in the scriptures. And I think as you're walking in community, talking with mentors and reading the word of God, you will figure this out, because it is something to figure out.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
So,
number six, Yeah. Ready for number six?
I think I started last two. You want to go?
Number six, listen and obey. So the Bible stresses obedience to itself through lots of different scriptures. God talks about obedience all throughout the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit as obedience, not just listening to the Word of God as obedience, but like, you know, if the Holy Spirit presses on your heart to do something, like to not do it is actually not obeying God too. So it's not just doing the things that God tells us to do in His Word, it's also doing the things that He presses on our heart to do, yeah. and us not ignoring
them. And this will be interesting too, because people will have different convictions, you know, like, yes, there are some like just blanket statement things we shouldn't do, murder being one of them, a very obvious example.
Yeah.
But there are some other things that are, you know, like I have Christian friends that like have eliminated alcohol mm-hmm. from their diet 100%. It's a personal conviction of theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't, and there's no judgment. Like, they don't judge me because I love my, yeah. I love a glass of wine by the fire. It's like, come on, that's how Jesus started his ministry, his first miracle, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, so we
but
don't.
But you can't judge them either because.
But I don't judge him either. Exactly. It's just a personal
heart.
Conviction.
Yeah.
And, you know, we both operate, you know, inside those convictions as we pursue the Lord. So.
And I think a lot of people, like, I think this is one of the questions even that we got in that Q&A podcast, going back to that. But people, like, a lot of times ask us, you know, how do you hear God, or how do you listen to God, or how do you figure out what God wants you to do? And, a lot of times, like, I know this is kind of a sassy answer, but when you feel like God is silent in your life, it's probably because He's already spoken and He's still waiting for you to do the thing that He told you to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, God will tell us to do things, or He will convict our hearts of certain things, and we just are resistant or stubborn. Mm-hmm. And then you want to hear from God and you want to get clarity on all these other things in your life, but you haven't listened to that thing that He's already told you to do. So ask God, like, God, what is that thing that I still haven't listened and obeyed, that I still need to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And listening to God is a scary and embarrassing thing to do sometimes, because God asks us to do radical things sometimes. Things yeah, that but like...
And that's where the best of life will be found. That's where the journey really takes
totally.
Off. The adventure reaches its heights and its depths. Like, that's when we start pressing into who we were made to be, is when we're listening and doing what we're told by the one that made us.
And the good news is that obedience to God is always for our good. When we listen and obey, God promises to bless our path. So, you know,
yeah.
following the Lord is...
It just might not be the way we think.
Yeah.
But it is a blessing, yeah. For sure. And this also goes back to the rest thing. Like, it's hard to listen when you're always the one talking. It's like... And this is where, like, a lot of people think praying means speaking, and praying just means being with the Lord, and so maybe it's His turn to talk,
yeah.
and you just shut up and listen.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you don't totally. Need to, this is where a prayer can be intimidating to some folks, is because they think, oh, I just don't know what to say. Or it's like, don't say anything. Like, start,
just listen.
Like, put that on Him. Have Him start talking. You know, it's like, it's our responsibility just to prioritize Him and set up the space and time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's just a note there. So
number seven?
Yeah, number seven. Fill your heart and mind with truth. We live in a day and age that's trying to eliminate every and any concept of truth. You know, going back to, you know, Oprah's crazy, what did she say? We all have our own truth or something, or you all live your own truth or something. I don't know. She said something and made news a couple years ago.
Don't hate on Oprah though.
I'm not hating on Oprah. I know. It's just, this was one thing she said that was just like, what? No, I mean, I'm sorry, but
it was like, you all have your own truth or something.
What yeah. was it? It was something like that. But it's like, you flip a coin and that lands heads. I'm sorry, but that is what happened. You know, sure.
Yeah.
If four people saw it, they could all say separate different things,
but
there is a truth.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we believe that's laid out very, very clearly and prophetically through scripture. And I believe with all my research and study, you know, like, the grand narrative of scripture paints the best picture of truth as far as like how everything came, answering all of life's biggest questions. Scripture and the Bible answers those questions the best as a cohesive narrative body of work, as a library of books. It tells the best story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the conclusion I've come to. And so as I pursue truth, it's really the pursuing scripture, knowing the word, and just go on, babe. Sorry.
No, you finish your thought.
Well, and just being prepared to give a defense for the hope that's within us, right? Because like, you pursue Jesus, he's going to do his work in you. He's going to give you a new heart. You're going to be filled. People are going to start noticing you're different. They're going to want to hang out with you more. It's just not saying good things come to those that follow Jesus by any means. That's the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
But the Lord will work in you, and people are going to start, you know, paying attention, I guess, and asking questions. That happened to me in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember wanting to have a defense for this. Like, oh, wait a second. What? Like, you're a believer? You're a
when
Christian?
You get
like,
asked that hard question.
When you get like, asked that hard question, like,
I want to know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Like, is my response formulated by culture, which is obviously not biblical, or is it formulated by scripture?
Mm-hmm.
The Benham brothers have a great quote. Don't wrap scripture around you. Don't wrap your opinions around scripture. Wrap scripture around your opinions.
Mm.
And that concept is nothing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Nothing you do or say should be coming out from your opinion, which is formulated by the world, obviously, but rather your opinion should be wrapped in scripture and formulated by scripture.
That's good.
That was powerful. And this is also why I got into reading so much in college. And Mere Christianity is a book you have to read if you're looking for truth.
And I think Jared's getting into like the way that he searched truth in college is a little bit different than me. And a lot, like, I think for girls, a lot of times it's just needing to be reminded of your worth and truths, you know, not believing those lies about your body or your identity or yourself or, you know, living in the past, and like really finding those scriptures that you need to be reminded of to tell you who you actually are, so that you aren't falling prey to the lies of not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not athletic enough, because you'll see that all the time in college. You're surrounded by thousands of people to compare yourself to, you know, and now social media has made that way worse, because not only do you have to be surrounded by them physically, you can be surrounded by them in the palm of your hands. And I think just, you know, finding those truths that you know you need to be reminded of, write them on a sticky note, put them on your bedroom mirror, put them on your car steering wheel, put them on your school book or on your laptop computer. For me, one of the ways, like when I really need to be reminded of a certain truth, is like I will screenshot it and put it on the back of my phone, or I'll put it on the lock screen of my phone, and then I'll tell myself I have to read it before I swipe open my phone every time. So like,
yeah, that's really
I look
good.
At my phone and I go, oh, I got to stop. I got to be reminded of that truth. Then I can open my phone and do whatever I need to do. It's a great way to be just reminded of truth. Okay, number eight.
That's
we should
a great
probably
tip.
Move on. It was the last one.
Last one. Woo-hoo. Write down your questions and prayers. Audrey, you did really good at this. I've never really done this, but this is definitely a good way to document your concerns, you know, your doubts, your fears, and then also document your conversations with the Lord and how he answers those concerns. And
you said, I do really good at this and you don't really do this, but I will say I push back to that a little bit, because you did this to me a lot through letters.
Oh, yeah.
Like even though you may not have been doing it like personally to the Lord, like you would write down your questions and things you were wrestling with the Lord and like prayer and stuff to me.
Yeah, for sure.
In letters. I think it gave you a little bit more of like a, I don't know.
Yeah.
A motivation to do that or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Totally.
But for me, I've been a journaler my whole life. So for me, writing down questions and prayers has been like part of the way that I pursue Jesus and prioritize him in my life. It's been huge and very helpful for me. For some people, it may not be a thing. So take it or leave it if it doesn't resonate as much with you.
It is just another practical way to pursue Jesus is like, you know, sit down and document, because that is that is spending time and space to prioritize him.
And I will literally sometimes, like if I feel like I really need clarity in a certain season of life or direction from Lord, I'll just sit down. And I've done this on silent retreats before in the past, where I will just start my silent retreat by asking God all the questions I have. Like I would just list out a page of questions that I have. And in the process of asking those questions, the Holy Spirit like answers them, or like, you know, like it's almost as if like the next question that I ask sort of helps me find the answer to the one before. Like there's just something about that process that was very helpful for me. So try it if you never have.
Totally.
Okay. That's
8
ways to pursue and prioritize Jesus if you're in college. And I think
if you are in college, we would love to know how this, you know, what you got out of this. What's the one nugget you took away, if any? What are the three nuggets? And let us know on the Instagram. Just give us a quick little, we do read them, guys. And this is why we do this podcast, and it's why we do it for free. And it's why there hasn't been any ads in it. It's because this is our conversation with you guys. And a way to reciprocate that is just DM us, poke us, get on social media. And that's where the conversation happens. So,
and one more thing I just wanted to end with, this is just kind of like to wrap it all up, but, someone told me this analogy one time of if you've ever watched a baby learn to walk, when they take two steps, we celebrate and we get so excited. I remember when Ember took her first steps, we were just like stoked. It was the coolest thing ever. We didn't say to Ember, oh my gosh, why didn't you take six steps? You know, we didn't say like, why didn't you take six steps?
Yeah.
And I think that's how Christ is with us. He rejoices over our two steps. So if you're like listening to this podcast and you're going, I want to pursue Jesus, but I don't know what that looks like. And Audge and Jerry, you just gave me eight things to do. And holy smokes, I'm not doing any of them. And I don't know how to do that. Like, God rejoices over your two steps, your one step. You know what I mean? He's cheering you on. He's excited and he's celebrating that.
Yeah.
So don't think you need to like be mastering all of these. These are just ideas. We hope that they help you guys, but don't expect yourself to be like, you know, doing all of them. Then that's not
the
point.
You don't have to be Friar Tuck or a nun tomorrow.
The like, point is like, take a step towards him, because the relationship with God is a two-way street and he's always been pursuing you and will always pursue you. And so the question is just, how are you going to take that step towards pursuing him back? So.
Boom. That's good.
Roses and thorns.
Roses and thorns, thorns and roses. Babe, what was your thorn this week?
My thorn this week is that this podcast is a day late. I just hate not like sticking to, I'm such a like stick to what I say I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, that's
person.
Good. That's valid.
So that was frustrating. And oh crap, I had another thorn that I wanted to write down at the beginning of this podcast and I can't figure it. What's your thorn, babe?
Yeah, my thorn would probably be just seeing you so just stressed out and upset over just kind of
we've just had a heavy work. Week
yeah
we've had a lot there's honestly but
like I get home we get home and you're like you know you're just it bummed. That's why I feel like I've got to fix everything is because all I want to do is fix it and gentlemen this is a problem you'll find out it's not my job to fix everything it's my job to listen to everything and sometimes I just want to fix things and so I'm like okay well this is bad we got to fix this and let me get in the glass house and start shooting bullets you know it's like no
and I think like for me this past week has just been one of those weeks where like Jared and I have worked really really hard on a few different things we won't get into it but like that have just like not fallen through or that have fallen through. Like we've put a lot of time and work into a few things that just like
didn't pan out
and it's been really discouraging honestly and so you know that's some reality of our life right now.
Yeah it's not like things that make the Instagram feed usually are the things that work and that's why we wanted to call this podcast Behind the Scenes because not everything works and that's the reality so
What was your rose, babe?
Yeah, my rose. What happened? Probably all the hangouts we got going on. Yeah, well, yeah. Oh no, getting my wood for the table
you
build.
That.
You guys, if you want to follow along, you should do it. I'm really excited. This is probably the biggest, most serious project I feel like I've done in a very, very long time. Mm. Just because of the complexity of it and how just 130-year-old oak tree. I mean, there's a lot of things about this that that are special. So getting my wood for the table build, definitely. I think I'll be posting progress pics and feed on my Instagram feed and all that, but I might use that other Instagram. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But little note to Audge there. So what is your rose?
My rose is Valentine's Day.
Boom. Yeah, mine and too. We talked sorry, about, babe.
No, but it was your year to plan it, and it was really, like, for me, it was more, probably for you, it was more work than it was. I mean, I hope it was a rose for you too, but
it was definitely a
I
rose.
Was surprised. Jared took me to Grand Lodge, which is one of our favorite places.
Well, guys, get
minimums.
This. I was like, babe,
he
listen.
Surprised me.
Listen, babe, I booked us a private fire in a room, right? I booked us an exclusive screen, new movie screening, a private spa, a live band. And what else did I say? And dinner. Or dinner. Drinks and dinner. And I was just looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I was like, we're going to McMinimin's Grand Lodge.
I actually thought I was kidding.
Because like, they have like, all that there. I was like, and you could do all of it there if you want, you know. And so, anyways, it was a great
time.
We
did it overnight at McMinimin's Grand Lodge. And it was super,
super affordable. For us, it's just, it was a good reminder. We go there all the time. But
Tara got me flowers that I've been wanting forever. These roses that last for a year.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting them for so long. They smell really good. Anyways, that was really fun. We celebrated Valentine's Day, got some good baby hangouts over the weekend. Yeah. The weather's been nice here.
What's going on in our world? Is there anything we want to tell them? Like what?
If you guys...
Oh, pre-orders have been going. It's been awesome seeing everyone's...
So people have now read the first two chapters of A Love Letter Life.
Yeah.
And people are starting to message us back. And it has been so... In the midst of all the discouragement that we've had this week...
It's been so encouraging.
It's been so encouraging to... Like, we've worked on this book for 2 years, guys. Like, by the time it comes out, it will have been 2 years, really, in the making. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're 6 weeks away now from launch date, which we're so excited about. But if you guys want to pre-order the book, you will immediately get the first two chapters to download for free that you can read immediately. And you'll also get 52 date night ideas. You'll get our love song Spotify playlist. You'll get Jeremy's presets, 4 custom presets that Jeremy built and designed in Lightroom. He teaches you, if you have no idea what a preset is, he teaches you exactly how to use presets, what they are.
Yeah.
Basically filters for your photos. We've showed them on our Instagram stories if you guys follow us there, but yeah, Love Letter Life. So we're getting so excited just for the launch of it.
Yeah, should be good. And you guys, to clarify, if you pre-order the book, you'll get
all those things.
Plus 50% off the marriage journal.
Yes.
You get a ton of free stuff. You can just go to aloveletterlife.com and read all about it. Pre-order the book. You can pre-order it anywhere and your order number will register. Some people have been saying if you order on iBooks, they don't give you an order number. If that's the case,
email us.
Send us a DM. And we'll get that taken care of. So, but pre-order the book, you guys. It's been super exciting. We're like Audrey said, we're just thrilled to get it out there. So
So thank you guys for your encouragement. It really means a lot.
We appreciate you guys.
And don't forget to share this episode in your Instagram stories for a chance to win coffee on us.
Every week we buy five people coffee if you share this with
your college friends.
We'll see you guys around the internet. Look forward to talking. Bye.